From Brooklyn, New York, this is Jarring Segue, an in-depth look at issues sent in by you, our listeners, and woven together in a jarring way. This week's theme is work.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Hello, everyone. I am, as always, your host, Beth Hicks. Please forgive the low, gravelly 1-900 number voice I have right now. I've got a bit of a cold.
People,
I was jerking off to Beth's voice for just a second.
Yeah, people had such a nice response to Sarah Reif that we wanted to give you raspy man voice as well.
I was a little jealous of Sarah, so I went and I licked the empty glasses at the dance party I went to on Sunday, so I was sure to get a cold.
What's funny is, I was thinking, why did people leave their eyewear at the party?
Yeah, it was a reading party.
Yes, I licked their bifocals, their monocles.
You know, the quickest way to get sick is to lick somebody's contacts.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that.
No, so, thank contacts.
You. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, especially the colored ones. You ever get colored eye contacts?
No.
Me neither. I never had a vision problem.
I had someone recently ask me, and for those of you who have not seen me, I am a bespectacled man.
Oh yeah, and Scott has glasses. So does Beth. I'm the only one with nearly perfect vision.
And yet someone recently asked me, they're like, I love the color of your eyes. Is it natural or do you wear colored contacts?
While you were wearing your glasses.
Under my glasses? Yeah. I was like, am I wearing colored contacts under my glasses? No, I am not. No,
well,
I'm
you
not.
Know, maybe they thought you had those glasses with the fake eyes painted on them.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Did you ever wear those?
No. You couldn't see out of them. They had a little pinhole, but it didn't help.
Oh.
With the fake mustache?
Different. The one with the fake nose and mustache.
Oh, yeah. The eyes were the fake ones. It was just the eyes.
Yeah.
So, everybody knows that I'm Beth Hicks because I introduce myself like a polite person, but you two just decided to skip over the introduction.
We get so excited.
I know.
I'm Scott Austin.
I'm Johan Karabi. I like to take the most amount of time with my introduction because then it kind of, you know, really, I stake my place.
It's one of those things like the longer the job title, the less important you are.
Ooh,
is that
snap.
True?
It's one of those things, yeah. That
like CEO?
CEO, that's a short, it's three letters.
Short for something, though.
It is, but, you know, president, short title. However, like, assistant manager of something really obscure.
Yeah. I actually did that last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were the assistant manager of
something
really
obscure.
Obscure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he can't talk about it.
That can was very, very difficult to understand.
The AMSRO.
Mm.
Assistant manager of something really obscure.
Nice. So our theme is work.
Work!
Work!
God, working sucks. You know, I grew up thinking working was a value. Weren't you taught it's like you gotta work hard?
Of course.
Yeah, it's not. It sucks, actually.
It is a little
disappointing
that you go through high school and you think, oh, this will lead me to a great job and I'm doing this so that I can work and have freedom and be an adult.
Yep.
And then you go through college and same thing, and then you get to the workforce and you're like, oh, well, Jesus fucking Christ. I wanna read books again and talk about them in class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People who are really into their jobs don't have anything else going on out of their jobs. Is that your understanding?
I got that way with teaching for a while. I let it take over my life, and then I was like, I need to be Scott and Mr. Austin.
Hmm. Right.
And so
Scott and Mr. Austin ever, you know, do it with each other? Would they ever
probably
have sex?
Not. Mr. Austin is not a very sexual entity. Mm.
What is he all about?
He's all about editing
learning.
Papers.
Ooh,
learning.
That's sexy.
Challenging yourself.
Ah.
Never touching others. I once made a no-hugging rule, because I had a group of students who were always hugging, and it just... no more hugging!
Hmm.
It was a little too much, Johan.
Yeah. That's weird, because Mr. Karabi is a top, and Johan is bottom.
Ah.
Works out very well.
Yeah, it does work out nicely.
Yeah, Beth is... she's a switch. and Ms. Hicks is a dominatrix.
Yeah, I've actually had sex with Ms. Hicks. I didn't tell you about this.
Did Johan got stories. Or did Mr. Krabby?
Yeah. It was actually Johan.
Okay.
Mr. Krabby's an anal guy, so it didn't work out.
Yeah. No, for sure.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Not work.
Not work.
No.
Not we work. We really veered off the beaten path.
I think all of us need to either get laid more or less, according to...
Or fuck each other. Themselves. Fuck.
Yeah.
Kelly, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Kelly wants to know.
Kelly, from where?
Who you met in Providence.
Oh, Kelly from Providence.
Providence, can I say Providence is a great town?
You can say that.
I should work for the tourism board.
Notice he said town, not city, but... Yeah.
Makes sense because it's small.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's a city.
Yes.
It's the capital.
Yes.
But they have a great little.
It is a
waterway.
Water fire. Fire water.
Ooh, what a great place! I liked it better than Boston. I'll lay it out there.
Ooh, throwing down for Prov.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
We had a good time.
We did.
I had fun.
Yeah.
And my roommate who was from Providence, my college roommate, used to talk about the water fire, and he described it as. They have these braziers in the water, and they set them on fire. And that is why
what I've always imagined.
Like the giant bowls.
But why brazier?
Because that's actually the right name for it. B-R-A-Z. Oh. Not brazier as in boob holders.
Can we explain to the audience what fire water is? Somebody
that's
who
alcohol.
Knows it.
Well, they have...
Water fire
is a bunch of braziers in a river that they light on fire.
So, as someone who actually lived there for 7 years, Water Fire started as an art installation by a RISD student, and it was originally, I think, just one or two of those braziers, or they looked like big urns, and they were filled with wood, and they were lit on fire, and over the years, it's grown, and now the entire river, down Memorial Boulevard, and where RISD is, there's...
RISD is the Design School of Rhode Island, everybody at home.
Or Rhode Island School of Design, therefore RISD. And they play music, and there's events, and there's...
Everybody comes down the river, they have fire in the river, they have music. I mean, come on, it's not that hard to explain, Beth.
Exactly.
Let's just get down to the point.
Kelly...
It's awesome.
Kelly wants to know, what did you used to say to people when you were little, and they asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Kelly. Provocative. I want to be a police officer.
Really?
When
you
were
a kid?
Said?
When I was a kid. Yeah. Or an actor. Or an actor who was playing a police officer. I think that's actually what I wanted to be.
You wanted to be RoboCop.
I didn't even want to be a real cop. I wanted to be an actor playing a cop.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I realize that now. That's what I actually wanted to do.
Huh. You wanted to be on LAPD Blue.
Nice.
Is that a show?
That was a show.
Well, I want to be except for the NY.
Yeah. I didn't want to be on Chips.
Oh, it wasn't LAPD Blue. They just beat people. Black people.
Black and blue.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ah, well, just blue. Mm,
yeah. I didn't want to actually do the serious cop work, and I didn't want to do serious acting. I wanted to be an acting cop.
Gotcha. I wanted to be a cowgirl or a ballerina, and then as I got a little older, I wanted to be a scientist.
So you really wanted to be in a ballet about a cowgirl scientist. You wanted to be in the ballet... Of what's that woman's name?
Annie Oakley?
No, they just made
Anne Frank?
An HBO special that Danes was in.
Yes.
What is her name?
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember.
Temple Grandin.
Yes, I wanted to be.
You wanted to be the ballet of Temple.
What's
Grandin.
Temple Grandin? Is it a cowgirl?
Well, she. Yeah, really. Yeah.
What do cowgirls
She's
do?
The autistic, Beth? The autistic woman who. Invented and changed and revolutionized the way we raise cattle
mm-hmm.
and slaughter cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing woman, but
yes.
Now I'm imagining it as a ballet starring Beth, and it is brilliant.
Beth, what was your understanding of what cowgirls did?
Well, because I grew up on a farm, I actually did understand animals.
Oh, you're right. You were an Amish for a long time, a long part of your life.
And... So, I understood animals. I understood animal husbandry and care.
Yeah. Husbandry, everybody home, is sex with animals, just so we're clear.
Only when it's between animals to reproduce. If, like...
Husbandry is when
it's just you having sex with an animal, that's called
bestiality.
Oh, sorry. So, husbandry is when you take an animal to be your husband.
Yes.
So Beth would marry her cattle.
Which now gay marriage is well on its way to legal in just about everywhere in this country. Hurrah!
We may as well just have sex with animals.
That's where
I'm actually very excited for gay marriage to be legal so I can start having sex with animals finally.
Yeah.
I know, because that's where it leads.
It's breaking down barriers for everybody.
That alligator has been throwing down hard for you.
I know.
Watch those teeth.
Would you have sex with an alligator from behind or laying it on its back?
Nope.
You wouldn't have sex with an alligator?
Nope.
If, Scott, or when you have sex with an alligator, crocodile, whatever, they're all the same, you lay it on its back, put it on its stomach. Because if you put it on its stomach, you have to lift up the tail. And the tail would have to... Theoretically, the tail would have to sit on your shoulder.
And they are heavy.
And the back end of the alligator would actually be elevated off the ground, so it's probably legs would be off the ground. So that seems a little bit harsh.
Yeah. Yeah.
On its back. Voted.
All right, Johan. Thank you.
There was a second part of Kelly's question.
I didn't get to answer.
Yeah, we didn't get to. I was just
This is actually pretty wonderful.
Oh, I'm glad.
When I was a little kid. And people asked, Scott, what do you want to be when you grow up? My first response was, a mother. I want to be a mother.
How old were you, Scott, when you said this?
3, 4.
Jesus.
After my parents and everyone would try to say, you know, you can't be a mother, you can be a father. And I'd say, no, I don't want to be a father, I want to be a mother. And they'd be like, you can't be a mother. And I said, fine, I'll be a rabbit.
It's better than a mother. So, to be fair to your 3-year-old self.
I think
self.
Maybe my 3-year-old self might have wanted to be a mother rabbit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The protagonist of The Runaway Bunny.
Ooh, never saw that. Read it.
Not the title character, but yeah. I would argue she's...
What did you like about being a mother?
I think I got to... In breastfeed. My head, I got to wean my children.
Yeah.
It's not breastfeeding, it's telling them no. Drink it out of this plastic cup instead.
Huh. I really be wanted tough on the kids
to do. I think I wanted. I like the baking. I like cooking. Maybe I don't know. I was 3.
But when did you get over it?
Then when I had an uncle who was a doctor, so I think I wanted to be a doctor for a hot second. But then I was an actor for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach acting, so I'm pretty close to
that.
You
are
now.
Close. I am not at all close. I am using none of those skills.
But you do look great in chaps.
I look amazing in chaps. And I really look great holding a Bunsen burner and a beaker.
You do.
So. Did you like kids? Is that why you want to be a mother? Or just because all the other stuff mothers do?
I was 3, Johan. I don't know.
I'm really getting deep into the psychology of your 3-year-old self.
I think it was me first coming out to my parents.
When you were 3.
And then when I did it... For realsies, when I was 19, they shouldn't have been as surprised, mm-hmm. is what I'm
they
thinking.
They were surprised.
I think just taken aback. I told them at like 10 at night, they were like, we're going to go to bed. And I was like, I sleep with men.
And there's really nothing on at that time on television.
No.
So even just transition. News. The news. Local news.
I sleep with men.
I didn't quite say it that way.
So we all wanted to be things when we were young.
What about you? I mean, you're...
I said I wanted to be a
No,
cop,
but
policeman.
Not using it.
Actor. No, I guess I like the people skills part of being an actor.
Well, Juan asked us, are you using your college major? So what was your college major, and are those skills that you learned useful?
You know, I actually have to say that one of the biggest fallacies, I don't know if it applies to everybody, one of the biggest fallacies I think I was taught was that your college major really mattered. What a scam. I think you should do whatever you want to do in college and then figure it out, because it doesn't matter at all. I mean, it may help you a little bit, but if you really want to do something else, my opinion is that you could do anything you want. If I was like poli-sci major in college and I wanted to be a, I don't know, let's
astronaut.
See. Well, I mean, some of that stuff you actually need to have some background in, but if you wanted to do like, you wanted to work in retail and you were in poli-sci, you could do it.
If you want to work in retail, why the fuck are you going to college? I love folding shit at the Gap. I'm getting a minor.
All right, let's say this. If I want to be a cook, and I studied poli-sci, I could do that.
Well, you'd have to go to culinary school.
Yeah, but you could pursue it. You could do it. It doesn't matter what your major is. That's what my point is. Even if you want to be a doctor, you could.
Actually,
didn't matter what your
med
major is. You
really
go back
love
to school.
People with diverse backgrounds yeah. because they want people who've studied
yeah.
a lot.
You have to go back and get the prereqs,
school.
But
yeah.
I don't think it matters. I wish I did business administration and I hated every minute of it. And thankfully, I did other things outside of it: poli sci classes, philosophy classes that I liked, and comp lit classes that I liked. I had enough space, but I don't think it mattered. It didn't really. I should have just stuck with what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Mine didn't matter either because I majored in English and secondary English education.
Oh, yeah.
With a minor in American history, and then I taught American literature for many years. And I currently teach drama because my master's degree is in educational theater. So I'm the sucker who, like, got the degree that directly relates to the job.
But you were excited about what you chose as a major when you chose it. You wanted
to
do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I switched from advertising.
Oh, really?
To, yeah, I was an advertising major. I switched from that to School of Ed. I switched from Newhouse, the really prestigious school at Syracuse, to School of Ed, a building that has mice running it. Not running through it, just running it. And no, it's a decent school of education, but I got a good education. I teach fine, I think. But yeah, everyone was like, "Wow, you took a weird step." And I was like, "I like kids."
Yeah.
So
that's good.
I mean, I was an English major, and I'm a copy editor. I mean, I'm a lot of different things now, and I'm pursuing a lot of different things. But one of the things I am is a copy editor and copywriter. And as an English major, it taught me how to write. It taught me about language. It taught me about critical thinking. I absolutely use the skills.
Do you gain skills in this? I never gained skills in college.
I did, because I learned how to write for a lot of different styles of professors.
Yeah.
I learned how to tailor my writing to different, like this one professor, I was a senior in college, and I had like, I'd always had, except for freshman year when I took classes not in my major, I'd always had a 4.0. And I was really like proud of that.
Nerd.
Thanks. And I take that as a compliment. And so my senior year, I took a class in modern poetry, and the first paper I got back, I got a 7.5, which is a C. I mean, it's a 75. It's not the best. And I was like, what?
Is
it
a poem?
No,
wrote?
No.
It was just like a...
No, it was a piece of critical... It was a critical essay. And I was like, what? Doesn't he know who I am? And then I started reading his comments, and I was like, you know what? His comments are fair. And so I started to tailor my writing more to him and what he liked. And by the end of it, I got an A in that class because I learned... Because
you slept with him.
Hell yeah. He was hot. And he liked, quote, poetry.
Hmm. Did you sleep with him?
No. I never slept with any of my college professors.
What is your worst coworker story?
Hmm.
I worked with a woman who used to call me my brother's name. She would call me Mark.
Yeah, because she was a teacher.
She taught my brother 11th grade English. And then after 8 years of working with her... She still called me Mark.
Mm.
I was like, I'm your fucking colleague, and you taught my brother when he was 17. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
Treat me like...
Did you ever say anything to her?
No, I just would...
Why didn't you say anything to her, Scott?
Because she was fucking old.
Yeah.
She was old, and...
But would you say something to her now?
She would teach kids wrong.
Do you feel like you
were
earlier in your career, you would say something now, maybe?
Maybe I would now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she would teach kids things wrong, like... Oh, put two spaces after a period, and it's like,
oh,
yeah, all right. If you're using a typewriter from 1957,
exactly.
Sure.
It's 1893.
But word processors take care of that.
Yeah.
And just different things like that. And she, but you know what? Respect for her. She made teaching a lifelong career. I think my worst colleague was someone I had to pull into an empty classroom one morning and say, "You are still drunk. I am calling you a sub. Go home."
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah.
This was me?
This was you, Johan. When you came in to talk to my students.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that day.
I pulled you into another room.
It was
and
a teacher?
Said, yeah.
That's a hot mess.
It's impossible to fire public school teachers. I heard about the rubber room they have.
Not impossible to fire. This is a lie.
But what's about the rubber room? The rubber room is where they put teachers who misbehave and can't get fired from public school.
No,
I just heard about this today.
I'm not exactly sure the New York City Department of Ed rubber room, but I will say that people who are like, tenure sucks. Basically, what tenure means for teachers is that you can't get fired without due process.
Yeah, you have to go through a whole thing.
You have to just be, like, you have to do something wrong. And if you do something wrong, then obviously you can get fired. Mm. And if you stop being effective, you can be fired.
Yeah.
It just means you don't have to be under such scrutiny.
It's not just here in New York. It's most places. Yeah, most countries.
Yeah.
Worst, you know, I had a coworker when I was back in L.A. before I came to New York that would just constantly be trying to tell me, feed me information, knowing that I would feed it to the boss. Or thinking I would. I didn't. I never did it. I, like, yeah, stopped it there. But that was the worst kind of, I think, for me. Like, I've worked with people who are lazy, who don't want to do work, who shift work. But I think that kind of thing is the worst. Like, manipulative people who are so bad about it. Like, if you can be manipulative, be good at it. But he was particularly bad at manipulating me and the boss.
Yeah.
That was hard. And he got fired. And another coworker I worked at the same place got fired for looking at pornography on his computer.
Huh.
And that was found out because the boss was snooping through the computer. So I don't know who was it wrong there.
I'd say the person looking at porn. Because when you work for a company, they will say that is their property. They are allowed to look at any time.
We're also allowed to look at the porn you're looking at.
Yes.
Exactly. You do not look at porn alone.
Have you been to porn sites? They have Facebook and
Twitter. Yes, tweet this.
I just love, why? Who's I just, doing that?
I just love when I get Facebook requests from, like, really boobalicious women. Boobalicious, I tell you.
Boobalicious. I like it.
And they want to be my friend. Oh, it was so great meeting you last night.
It's Kendra.
I hope we can get to know each other better. And I'm like,
maybe it's a coworker or something.
All right, Kendra.
Kendra.
Kendra, where did I meet you? Kendra, because sure, if you want to join my book club.
Nice.
Sure.
But have you been to a pornography site and then you just been like, I'm watching porn. I should perhaps tweet about tweet that I'm watching internet
I'm
porn.
I'm a tweet my porn. Yeah, I've never.
I'm always worried about accidentally clicking on
me
that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh my god, me too. I've always been afraid I'm going to hit that button.
Like,
back to like
at like favoriting this like porn site.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, it's not. Like,
Johan likes you jizz. I'm going to do that. Just so everybody in Facebook knows.
Johan likes. Sexy Cicada likes you jizz.
Sexy Cicada.
How appropriate.
That is Johan's defunct, Twitter handle.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So, I didn't really
worst
ever.
Worst coworker?
My last job, there was a woman who I worked with who was. She and I had the same exact job. We were both the senior proofreaders, and she was just really difficult to work with. And I felt like I constantly had to be playing a game of, like, decide what mood she was in on any given day. And I couldn't. And the thing is, like, she was always pissing people off. She just was, like, really intense.
The most amazing thing about people like that, and probably, you know, the woman you're referring to too, Scott, is that those people actually probably complained about you.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
that's,
I know she did.
That's what blows my mind, is that the people that I'm talking about probably had some kind of issue with me.
Oh, I got feedback from people that she complained about. I know she did.
Oh, I know.
That's amazing.
This teacher actually once... The
drunk one?
No, not the drunkie. The
name caller.
The one who couldn't bother to learn my name. Once came into my room. No, I went into her room for something. And she was like, oh, I've asked my kids and they said you are challenging them, so that's good. I was like,
whoa,
fuck you. Because they're my students now, because they are in 11th grade and
she was
10th grade honors. And
do you have a thing, by the way, against the teachers that are the grade below? Is there a feeling of you're better than the teachers below you? I always wondered. My 6th grade teacher thought my 5th grade teacher was an asshole.
No,
or an idiot, sorry.
You know what is funny? I have a friend, Jenny, who teaches 7th grade, and she gets so mad when 12th grade teachers think that they're better. But there is a little bit of that hierarchy in
interesting
a high school. The first school I worked at, thank God, was a very big proponent of we all taught all 4 grades. I had a lot of freshmen in my theater class.
Yeah.
I taught 10th, 11th, and 12th.
I don't feel like there's a big enough difference against 12th and 10th as there is, like, 8th versus 6th. right?
I mean, well, those are different certifications in most
states. No, but I'm saying in terms of like me feeling like I'm teaching something drastically more complex.
I do think, and I've taught fifth and sixth grade, and I know it is hard, and I know it is, I think they're different beasts, but I do think you think, like, grass is always greener. Fifth and elementary school teachers are like, oh, but I'm teaching these kids all day. I have to know everything about math and science. Yeah. I'm like, you need to know what a fucking seed is. Like, you don't really need to know everything about science.
Yeah.
But they're right. They have to make plans for a whole day.
I like how you just switched like that. Like, but no, Scott's like, you need to know what a fucking seed is.
It's
so
true.
You have some kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I think you do not need to be as academically driven to teach elementary school, but you have to
How he says elementary.
Oh, yeah, it's a
Central
New York thing.
I know we talked about this.
Yeah, elementary. To teach primary school, the lower grades, you just need patience of a saint, and I don't have them.
Yeah.
I have been telling my students all week, like, I don't babysit. Get whatever notebook or three-ring binder works for you. I don't care, as long as you have paper to turn into me. And you don't lose things.
Is it weird that teachers cared about that shit?
I share a room with a teacher who's giving like a graded notebook check.
Oh, I had teachers like that.
And
so
I'm like,
stupid.
Why? You need to learn how to organize stuff for your own self.
Yeah, do it the way that you need to do to succeed in this class.
And which is a great lesson in life, because if you're teaching them that there's only one system that will work, and that system doesn't work for them, then you are setting them up for failure.
Absolutely.
Especially
that's
in college.
That's a great point.
And it's, or if they don't go to college. It's like, I think that's something that I haven't, I'm learning now in my 30s, past school, about systems that work for me and how not to worry about if it's not the norm. And that, it's funny though, because I was a substitute teacher for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and I taught at every, because I had an emergency certification, I mean, I could teach any grade, any level, anything.
What?
I taught.
How does one get an emergency certification?
The kids are dying and they need to get taught.
Yes, they all have cancer. So, no, the.
Or they're on a bus that's like on a ledge.
Yes.
You come in and you teach them math.
You were in the movie Speed.
Yes.
In one of
those. The bus goes below.
Those
50.
Less filmed scenes. It's like.
Well, I literally.
If these kids blow up and they don't know the Pythagorean theorem, what will we do?
I am literally picturing a bus on teetering over a ravine.
Ah.
And Beth comes in with a chalkboard to teach the kids.
And that chalkboard also weighs the bus down on the
sides.
Oh,
and then when
damn.
You leave, you screw everything up and the kids all
die. Exactly. Because I've done my job. I've taught them. They can all die.
Yeah.
No, in Pennsylvania and in some other states, it depends on the state, they have this thing called emergency certification. And the idea is that because they are so lacking in numbers for substitute teachers and they are dealing with not being able to get people into the schools, if you have a college degree, if you have
if you have a pulse.
If you have that's actually one of the requirements. If you have a college degree and you have all the background checks, the criminal background check and blah, 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 and you can work with kids, and then you take a two-day course in substitute teaching.
Jesus.
You can be a substitute teacher.
Fuck.
Now, I was an excellent substitute teacher. And I'm not even going to pretend I wasn't. And I was also in school for education for second grade
at the
time that I was doing it. So, and I was good at it. I'm a good teacher. But there were people who were substitute teachers who had no business being near a class, who shouldn't have even been allowed to walk by a school, let alone be in a classroom.
It's a little bit heartbreaking. And I say this knowing some people who've gone through teaching fellows and all that other stuff, but it is heartbreaking to spend your life majoring and getting a master's degree in something
and then
having people who are like, I majored in making crafts, and they come in and they're trying to teach, and then they like give you, I read this book called Teach Like a Champion, and you should fucking read it, and I'm amazing. It's kind of like, it's a big old fucking slap in the face.
I've had people, as a copy editor and a copywriter, you know, I've had people be like, yeah, I'm always fixing my friend's grammar. And I was like, this is actually my work. Like, this is not, it's not easy. Like, it's not the hardest, it's not brain surgery, it's not rocket science. But it actually takes some skill and it takes some learning. And I hate when people do that to anyone.
Mm.
When someone's like, I do this. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've always wanted
to do that.
I do that
on the side.
I do it on the side.
Yeah.
Or I've always wanted to do that. I'm an aspiring voiceover artist now. And I always have people who are like, oh, I've thought about doing that. What should I do? And I'm like, get a teacher, spend a lot of money, train, worry about it, quit your job, move to New York, be scared that you're doing the wrong thing, panic about... How's that list for you? You're like, yeah. I just wanted to buy a mic and make some money.
Jackson in Brooklyn, New York, mm-hmm. asked, should you leave an okay job with security to take a risk for bigger and better things? Johan.
Wow. Johan, please. I'm actually leaving my job in 3 weeks for no job. I don't know if that's bigger and better, but I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. But for me right now, it seems to work. I think sometimes it's nice to just free yourself from things if you can, if you can afford it.
Right.
A lot of people can't.
You should free your mind and the rest will follow.
Exactly.
Don't be so blind. Or don't be so... something blind, don't be so shallow.
Don't be so blind like Helen Keller.
Oh, no.
That's better.
No. Oh, my God. You're a terrible person.
I think that... I don't know. When I mean, all my life, maybe now it's a little harder, but I always thought when people are miserable in their jobs, I can't understand. Just leave your job. And it's and I say that, it's very simplistic because some people have families, they can't right. afford to do it. Mm-hmm. But my firm belief is if you're miserable in something, you should change it. But it takes time. For me, it took time.
Yeah.
It's true.
I don't know, but I think it's important. If you're complaining about something, you should work to change it.
Well, yeah. Mike up in Syracuse, and I think this is an interesting question because it kind of piggybacks off Jackson's question for me is, he asked if you should live somewhere you love and hate your job, or move somewhere you don't necessarily love for a job that's great. And I left Syracuse in a job that I really liked because I wanted to take a risk and grow as a teacher and not retire from the same job that I got at 22. I had been there for 8 years. I grew a lot, but it was time to grow in other ways. And there were other factors in my life that I decided were more important than my work day. So, you know, relationships, acting, things, just exposure to the arts, exposure to different communities to teach. Mm-hmm. So, I would say, yeah, it's scary and it doesn't always pay off, but I think you should, if you're unhappy with a job, if it's okay, if you are feeling stagnant, make a change.
Yeah. I mean, the hard part about a question like Mike's is that it's on one hand, it's fair, and on the other hand, it's one of those questions where it's like, I don't actually like answering questions like that, because being a job that I'm miserable in, which is 40 to 50 to sometimes 60 hours a week, which is a lot of your life, but love where I am, but where I am is tainted by the fact that I don't love my job, and it can really infect, you know, I have a friend who's in a situation where her job is really pushing on her and frustrating her, even though she loves New York, and it taints, you know, a lot of her experiences outside of the job. Or being a job I love, great, but then, like when I lived in Providence, I mean, I didn't love my job, but Providence wasn't, there wasn't enough there. There wasn't enough for me, I wasn't challenged enough, I didn't have enough do.
Not enough brassieres on fire.
Exactly. I lit my brassiere on fire, but... So I feel like that's one of those questions where I'm like, I'm sorry,
it's a balance.
I won't choose. I will probably live in a place I don't love as much if the job is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know if I'd really want to live in Philly. I like Philly as a city a lot. My family is near there. It's a great city, but I don't know that it's for me. But if I got offered my dream job, I would absolutely move to Philly.
That's the real point, is that it's a balance. You have to strike a balance. You can't just be in a place you fucking hate and have a great job. It still won't happen. It still won't fly. At least for me, at least.
Yeah, it's like, great, you love where you live, but you're miserable 40, 50 hours a week. What's the point? Yeah. You're going to be miserable all the time.
A few quick questions.
Sure.
The best schedule for a 40-hour work week?
A 20-hour work week.
good answer. I don't understand a 40-hour work week.
You have like a 70-hour
teachers,
work week.
We just have different schedules. Although I will say, since moving to New York, I try not to take as much work home.
Okay.
I think that goes with being a drama teacher instead of an English teacher. A lot of my grading is in class, but I was getting to a point where I wanted to make sure that I was being a human when I left the building, not just being a teacher.
Yeah.
I think having less days And more hours a day would
fewer
be
fewer days.
Sorry, you're right, I know.
Yeah, copy editor.
Because you know teacher. Why? Less only refers to like an amount, or fewer refers to a number.
Yep, fewer is a unit that you can
exactly.
separate.
No, units. I know that. I know that.
Fewer beer cans, like I have less beer.
Yeah, I have less patience.
Yeah, but I
know. But be when there are fewer people here for me to talk to.
No. I have fewer gallons of patience, but I have less patience.
What is the best song with the word work in it?
She works hard for her money.
9 to 5. What a... Working 9 to 5.
But it has to be the name of the song.
No, it's what just best song with the word work in it.
In it.
Yes. Work. Cowgirl.
All I can think of is I've been working on the railroad, and I know that is not the best song.
Yeah, that's a good song.
I'm going to get back to you on this.
Okay. I'm still going to stick with 9 to 5 just because it's iconic and it's Dolly.
She works hard for the money by Donna Summers.
She works hard for the money.
But I will say that going back really quickly is that I think fewer days.
Correct.
More hours.
Yeah, I know a lot of people.
I mean, once I get to work, I'll fucking stay for 12 hours. I just don't want to go to work is the problem.
I've heard a lot of people who really like the 4-day, 10-hour day, and then they have a 3-day weekend every week. So I'm a freelancer, so my hours are all over the place. Some days I'm working the whole day, and some days I'm not working at all. And it's a little disconcerting. It is a little disconcerting, but I also kind of love it. I love being able to set my own hours. I love being in control of my schedule, and it really makes you really have to be on point, because nobody else is going to tell you.
Ben Folds, Fred Jones Part 2.
Nice. What's the work in that?
You know, I'm not sure it has the word work, but it is about a man who worked his whole life.
Ben Folds 5?
No, it's Ben Folds solo from Rockin' the Suburbs. It's a great song. It's very sad. I know he says the word work in it. Mm-hmm. It is a great song.
You know what? I will put a little piece of it in here. Oh, right here.
Everyone listen to this.
25 years he's worked at the paper. A man's here to take him downstairs. And I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. It's time.
Perfect. I never heard that.
He's just a talented, talented man. You know, it was covered by an a cappella group. It sounds like this.
25 years, he's worked at the paper. A man's here to take him downstairs.
Da 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 da.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. It's time.
Beth, at least now you hate Scott more than me.
No, I have both of those clips. I'm going to give them to Beth.
I love you. Put them in Dropbox for me.
Drop them in your box.
Drop them in my box tonight,
lady.
Baby.
Speaking of dropping in boxes.
Yes.
This is a great segue. Lori wants to know about leaning in.
Oh, God. Sandberg. I hate this. Cheryl Sandberg. Stupid.
It's not stupid, you dude.
Lean in.
You fucking dude. You keep your mouth shut.
What it
shut
means?
Up. First of all,
girl, women try harder? Is that what it means?
Welcome to Jarring Segways, Battle of the Sexes.
Fucking
Beth
stupid.
Representing people with vaginas, and Johan representing people sans vaginas.
Like,
discuss Sandberg.
This is what I have to say. It's just like,
of course you would.
Why do you have to be so vocal about the women's strife? Just fucking do it. You have to talk about it and write a book about it. If you have some grand scheme, get working on it. You don't need to write a book. Lean in. If you have to encourage your entire gender to do this, then maybe there's a communication problem.
Okay, first of all, I have big issues with Sheryl Sandberg and the Lean In movement anyway, because it's very, very, very much about upper middle class and upper class white
women.
Exactly. And that's problematic. That's a big problem. That the issues that we talk about when we talk about, and I'm putting in quotes, Giant Segue, working women, almost always is about a very small segment of the population. That there are so many women in this country who have zero choice of whether or not they will work. Because they have to. They have to work or their kids won't eat. They have to work or they can't, you know, keep a roof over their head. However, the idea that there isn't still... there aren't still issues surrounding gender bias in the workplace, that there aren't still issues surrounding family work balance and work life balance and stuff like that. And it's starting to be as much for men as it is for women in some cases. That it's time. You've got this look on your face like you just don't.
Because I've worked for so many women that are more powerful than me and that crush me in the workplace. I love that for you,
like, anecdotal evidence of this. No, like, your small
it doesn't
subset
apply
of evidence.
To me. I'm like, women don't.
So it doesn't apply to you.
Fine. Women are doing fine.
I love that.
I'm
it
sorry.
Doesn't apply to me, so
women
therefore
are doing
it's not
fine.
True.
Yeah,
that
they're
is
doing
the,
fine.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard
you
say.
Yeah, but. You know, at the same time, saying like, "Oh, women have a tough." Yeah, you have a tough anecdotally too. You have tough like with prick guys.
It's not anecdotal if you actually have evidence that they have it tough because of things like pay inequity and lack of promotions and things like that. There's actual studies.
Yeah, but 50 years ago, they weren't even allowed to work. So give it some time. Christ,
you don't give things time. You actually, you actually have to push. Giving things time, the whole, like, it'll work itself out, that has never been the case for any social issue ever.
Push, but don't write a book about it.
I love that that's your answer.
Yeah. Push, but don't write a fucking $20 book about it and sell it. Just fucking, just everybody, if all you guys are on board on this, great.
Anyway. I'm going to weigh in on this.
Please.
After I've worked at my current job, an all-girls school.
Okay.
For more than 2 days.
Okay.
You're an all-girls school.
I'm at an all-girls school.
That's awesome.
It's kind of crazy.
That's awesome.
It's kind of crazy.
I do think it's interesting, change of topic that's related to that. I do think it's interesting that statistically women do better in all-girls schools and boys do better in co-ed schools.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Mm. Statistically, they found that boys do better with the presence of girls and girls do better when they don't, depending on the age.
That makes sense because guys actually have to like kind of act like human beings if there's women in the
room. There's something, you know, they've done a whole bunch of studies and it's really interesting. And then the question becomes who wins out? Like, you know, ideally would we have all girls schools because then the girls do better, but then the boys are not going to do as well. So it's interesting.
I went to an all boys school and some days people would come in, they weren't even behaving like normal human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Juan wants to know what's best about your job now. Which is funny to ask someone who is freelancing and someone who is leaving his job and someone who has been employed for a week.
And has been working...
Working with the kids for two days. So right now, my answer is going to be, I like that I can bike to work.
Oh, that's great.
That's nice.
It's very good. It's very nice.
That's nice.
A kid came up to me today and said, "We've decided," she and her friend, "that you're our favorite teacher."
Already?
I was like, all right, well, you haven't known me very long, but thank you.
Yeah.
And I walked away. But it was nice that
That doesn't generally change. I have to remember from my teachers. I usually liked the teacher initially. I didn't really have a big turnaround.
Oh, that's
I have
good.
To agree with Johan. I actually, who I liked in the beginning, because they made a really good impression, and then I just...
With friends, though. Friends I usually like either didn't like or didn't care about, I ended up really liking it eventually.
Was it with me?
Well, I just didn't care about you, Beth.
Perfect.
But there's some of my best friends I hated when I met
you, Beth. You just didn't give me an option to not like
Correct.
You or not be your friend.
I was like a puppy.
I actually liked you both when I mean, but there are friends that I hated and I ended up being really good friends.
Yeah.
Thing I like about my job is actually, it's kind of cheesy, but getting to the point where your boss like respects you.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
it's not cheesy.
It's not. I mean, really, like when your boss actually, like, even there, if they're tough on you, they actually respect you, and like, you feel like your boss thinks you're capable. That's a great place to be
because
it's really hard not having a boss that you think like thinks you're a fucking moron.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I agree.
Even if you don't agree with them, it's hard to not buy into it.
Yeah,
it's true.
I love the thing that I both love, and that is also the most difficult part of my job is how much control I have. I have so much control over my day.
Power hungry Beth.
I have so much power over my destiny, and it's, you know, I'm basically a small business, you know, doing the freelance editing and the voiceover work and everything. And I am my boss and I am my employee. There's a great bit of Maria Bamford does about being her own boss and doing a performance review for herself. Anyway.
Our final question for tonight is a question that has come up multiple times when we announced that the episode was focused around work.
Yes.
Namely from Aaron Roberts, a new fan.
New fan?
New yes, fan. She's a good friend of me.
Oh, she's a new fan.
She's a good friend of me. She just liked the Jarring Segue. Mine.
Where is she from?
Grammar. She lives in Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
I thought you
said she's from Newfan. I don't know where that
she's
is.
She's from Newfan.
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. She's a newfie.
Uh-huh.
Erin from Newfoundland. She wanted to know that old guidance counselor question.
Mm-hmm.
Guidance counselors were awful, by the way.
What's your dream job? What would you do if money weren't an issue?
Yes.
I would do radio.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would do this all day.
I believe you. Okay. I would be an actress in the West End in London.
Hmm.
I would be directing.
Mm-hmm.
I would be directing either young people or
air traffic.
Fresh out of college people. I'd be directing kind of either interview theater pieces or just new pieces. I'd be directing new work.
Yeah. I could see that. You'd be a great director. So we should all do what we want to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's time. It's that time.
I just sounded so arrogant.
Yeah, you sound like a prick.
Yeah, well, artists usually are. So all three of us are.
Mm-hmm. So, Johan.
Well, I would say that I think it doesn't matter what you... My opinion is that it doesn't matter what you major in college. Mm. But it does matter what you major in life.
Ooh.
Mm. And if you want to do something, you should really do it. And if you don't, if you're not happy with your job, you should quit. If you can afford it. If you can't, tough shit.
Johan.
And if you can lean in, great. Just don't write a book about it. Don't tell me what to do.
I'm imagining all these women leaning in on segues and going somewhere.
I don't. It's just such a dumb phrase.
Lean in on your segue.
You know what? Everybody should be working hard. Why does it have to be women?
Have you read the book?
Don't even know what it's about, Scott. Yeah, I'll right. top you on that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Actually, haven't even read about the book.
I was like,
how little I know.
I was like, it's
but how
not
strong an opinion
about working much hard. About working hard.
No.
What is it about, Beth?
It's about the work-life balance. It's about the fact that women need to push harder to stay in the workforce. She basically is telling women that they need to push harder to ask for, because women don't typically ask for promotions and raises
bullshit.
As often as men.
Every woman I've ever worked with has been tough.
Well, Johan has said that this is all bullshit.
It
so
is.
You should believe him.
Why? What does she know that I don't know?
She know.
I'm Scott Austin.
No, wait.
Oh, damn it.
Come on.
I'm sorry, listeners. I tried.
Sounds like a total lunatic.
Why don't you read a review?
I'm really glad you didn't use a gendered
Me
insult.
Too.
I almost did.
I had a feeling.
I was going to.
Thank you for not.
I had a pretty good
Actually,
one,
Actually, you know what? I'm not going to thank you. I'm not going to.
And you all know what it is.
I'm not going to thank you.
And it begins with a consonant.
Stop. I'm not going to thank
it's
you.
It's for cookie. And that's good enough
Stop
for
it.
Sheryl Sandberg.
Stop it. I am not
Lean
going
Lean into that cookie jar.
You know what? Sheryl Sandberg's made a lot of fucking money off women buying her book at Starbucks.
She's made a lot of fucking money off of being who she is.
Great.
Not just
good
for
her.
Buck.
Good for her.
Anyway.
You know what? I need to lean in. I'm not worried about women.
And on
I'm
that
not so
note,
worried about women. I need to. I ain't got a lot of shit.
You hear
to
that,
going
ladies?
On.
He doesn't worry about women.
I'm worried about myself.
You hear that, ladies? You're never getting laid.
Watch
again.
Out, West Coast.
You are never getting laid again.
Oh, women want guys who are worrying about them? I don't think so. I don't think so. You need to read up on your own fucking gender, Beth.
And on that note,
I'm Scott Austin.
Johan Karabi.
I'm Beth Hicks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sending in topics and questions. Thank you for putting up with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Holding hands at midnight, 'neath the starry skies. It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with that one boy, sighing sigh after sigh. It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try.